Mom, Dad, if you are watching, I would fast forward. Skip this part. And I was boy crazy. Ask anyone who knew me when I was in secondary school. I always had a boyfriend. I was always obsessed with one boy or another. I have friends who followed me to boys' houses, friends who followed me to stalk boys' boundaries about consent, about sexuality, about self-worth. Those conversations did not happen. And I remember when I was on the train making my way back home, asking myself why I put myself through that. Why did you do that to yourself? Why did you allow yourself to be used and humiliated in such a severe way? The Holy Spirit beckoned to me and basically said to me, this is not the life I want for you. Welcome to the Come See podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. Today is a very different type of episode because as of this morning, my guest dropped out last minute. And to be honest, I wanted to kind of throw a tantrum, cross my hands and basically, you know, have a good sulk. But I heard the Spirit of God saying, actually, I want you to do a solo episode. So essentially, God set me up. So I've got my notebook and I've got my phone and we're going to be exploring why I decided to do the Come See podcast. And I'm going to be sharing for the first time ever an unfiltered account of my Come See story. So, like I said, God set me up. God set me up because I don't usually show up for myself. You know, I'll go to a lot of effort for other people, for when I have interviews with other people, you know, get my hair done, get my nails done, you know, decide on what I'm going to wear. And I did that just as I would normally do for any guest. And then this morning when my guest, unfortunately, was not able to make it, my initial reaction was, well, there's not going to be a podcast. There's not going to be an episode. But then when I started thinking about the money that has been spent to book the studio, the time, the preparation, I heard the Spirit of God saying, do a solo episode. And I, you know, in the midst of my emotions, I was able to recognize that that was what God wanted me to do. That was what God had planned. And I had to respond with obedience, no matter how I felt. I had to respond with obedience. And so in the spontaneity of not having planned a solo episode, I was still able to show up for myself without realizing it was for myself. So that's why I say God set me up. And I wonder if you're the same. Over the years, I found that whenever it's for somebody else's event, somebody else's ambition, somebody else's goal, somebody else's dream, I will show up 110%. But whenever it's my dream, my goal, my ambition, my project, I tend to diminish my enthusiasm, my commitment. If it's just for me, I tend to kind of feel less motivated than when it's for other people. And I pray that God will deliver us from that. I feel like the adventure that God is taking me on at the moment is actually also to address that aspect of my personality where, you know, when people speak about me, they talk about all these giftings, all these talents I have, you know, how inspirational I am to them without sounding like I'm boasting or whatever. But they say such good things about me that sometimes I'm even surprised when I hear it because I don't necessarily believe those things about myself. And that's a bit of a problem because the world that we live in today, if you don't show up for yourself, who's going to show up for you? The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. Self-love, even though it's been hijacked into being a vanity kind of selfish trend, if you like, a selfish campaign, if you like. Actually, self-love is biblical. Love your neighbor as yourself. The standard of love that you should be showing to yourself, emulate that love to your neighbor. But I find that I've actually been doing that inversely, in that I have been showing more love to my neighbor than myself. So hence why we are here today. And like I said, God has set us up. So what is the Come See podcast? The Come See podcast, as you will have seen, is basically a space for Christians to have unfiltered conversations about their encounters with God, why they started to become followers of Jesus. And one of the most important things for me about the Come See podcast is the scripture that inspired it all, John chapter 4, verse 29. The woman by the well says, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did." This woman was a divorcee. She'd had several marriages, and the man she was currently living with was not her husband. She was marginalized in her society. And Jesus reached out to this woman, met with this woman, ministered to this woman, revealed himself as the Messiah to this woman. And it blew her mind. She ran into a village and her whole village was converted. And I really believe that I, in some ways, have a lot of similarities to that Samaritan woman by the well. And so when I decided to leave my place of work, you can watch the video all about me deciding to walk away from my salary paying job after 10 years of employment. When I decided to leave there, God laid this on my heart as one of the projects he wanted me to get into. So what is my Come See story? Now, mum, dad, if you are watching, I would fast forward. Skip this part. Because this is an unfiltered account of sorts. So I was born and raised in Nigeria. I came here when I was 7 years old. And my mom really struggled to give us better opportunities. She worked so hard. We watched her do remarkable things in terms of a woman who was on her own, striving for survival. And she managed to get me and my two siblings — I have an older brother and an older sister — and she managed to get us all here in the UK with nothing to her name, really, in terms of finances. But to God be the glory, we were able to get here. And when I came here, I had pretty much a normal kind of upbringing the first few years. My kind of adolescent years is what I'm really going to go into a little bit more detail about in terms of the Come See story and why the woman by the well account in the Bible resonates so well with me. When I was in my early teens, actually, I realized that even when I was leaving Nigeria, when I was a lot younger, so I'm talking seven, I had already had a tendency to kind of desire male attention. I don't know if it's daddy issues. I don't know if it's because I didn't grow up with my father, but I noticed, I recall the memory of when I was leaving Nigeria, thinking about a particular male friend that I was leaving behind. And we went to the same school. I don't even remember his name now, but I just remember having that thought in my mind. And I had female friends, I had girlfriends, but they didn't come to my mind in the same way. So I guess there was that tendency, even from that young age. So when I became a teenager, obviously I'm developing physically, you know, I'm starting to be more image conscious, and I'm around, you know, people of the opposite sex, boys who are also developing, you know, testosterone, they're, you know, going through puberty, they're starting to develop those desires. And it was a bit of an ambush, really. It was a bit of an ambush because I didn't have any educational conversations with my mom or any grown-up adult person about the opposite sex, about the kind of relationships I should have with them about boundaries, about consent, about sexuality, about self-worth. Those conversations did not happen. And in many Nigerian African households, in those days, those conversations did not happen because as far as they were concerned, you were going to go from being a virgin to going to university, finding your husband, getting married and living happily ever after. I know it's a very skewed depiction, but I think a lot of African parents did have a very kind of optimistic view of their child's adolescent years. And they weren't as educated about the emotional needs of their children and some of the things that all teenagers kind of go through in terms of their curiosity about sexuality, about their body, about, you know, dealing with heightened emotions, desire, self-control, those things. So at this point, by the way, I'm not a Christian. I go to church occasionally. I follow family members to church, but I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And like I said, I met the opposite sex. They showed an interest in me. And the next 5-6 years were spent basically in and out of relationships with members of the opposite sex. I don't know why I keep saying opposite sex. I can just say boys, right? Sorry. I was in and out of the relationships with boys and I was boy crazy. Ask anyone who knew me when I was in secondary school. I always had a boyfriend. I was always obsessed with one boy or another. I have friends who followed me to boys' houses, friends who followed me to stalk boys. I was just fixated with boys. And the dangerous thing about this fixation is that I was in a position to be able to act out my desires. There were no boundaries. So very quickly, oh, I fancy him turned into being physically active with these boys. And things got out of control because I couldn't differentiate between somebody liking me because of my, you know, my body and how I looked, and somebody genuinely wanting the best for me. Somebody liking me because they like my personality and who I am as a person, and somebody actually just wanting me in their bed. I got that wrong a lot of times, more times than I really should have. And it destroyed my self-esteem. It destroyed my self-image. It destroyed my sense of self-worth. I've had, like, this is why I said my mom and dad should not watch this episode. Again, mom, dad, if you're watching, really, stop now. I've had guys tell me, I had a guy tell me to get out. Like, we just done the deed. And he asked me to get out, like, leave, bye, go. And I remember when I was on the train making my way back home, asking myself why I put myself through that. Why did you do that to yourself? Why did you allow yourself to be used and humiliated in such a severe way? And it really would take an encounter with Jesus to break the cycle. I was 19. I was in yet another relationship. This one I'd been in now for 2 years. And the guy that I was dating was a Muslim. I'd stayed with him in his house and we just moved into a flat together. And the Holy Spirit beckoned to me and basically said to me, "This is not the life I want for you. I have something so much better for you. But if you don't make a change now, if you don't pivot now, this will be the trajectory." And that's one of my favorite words, right? I use that in every episode. But the path of your life, the journey of your life will continue to look like this. And so I had to break things off with this guy. First of all, I started with telling him I was celibate, which wasn't really realistic because we were living together. And then very quickly, I had to tell him that actually, no, I just wanted to end the relationship because I wanted to pursue Jesus. The truth of that matter was that actually an old male friend had reached out to me. And if anyone knows what friends with benefits means, we were friends with benefits when we were younger. And he had reached out to me. He was now going to church, but he hadn't really changed. And so when he was inviting me to church, to me, it was just another invitation into another relationship. Except now I was convincing myself that it was about pursuing Jesus. So I went to church for man. I went to church because of a guy that I liked who invited me to church. But God set me up because very quickly after I started attending that church, this guy had to go off to university. So God used the guy to coax me into church and then hearing the gospel, learning about the word of God, hearing the word of God, learning about the person of Jesus, just, it blew my mind. It captivated me. And very soon I was this woman by the well, running to my friends and telling them about this Jesus. And they thought I'd lost my mind because they knew Dami. They knew Dami. She was boy crazy. You know, she was, you know, always in somebody's arms. She was, you know, living with her boyfriend. She was, you know, spending the night over. Like, we know Dami. She is not somebody who exercises self-control. She's not somebody who has her emotions in check. She's not somebody who can be single and content. And yet I was emerging as this new woman, this secure, healed version of myself. And it was an amazing witness to my friends. So many of my friends came to church. So yeah, that's kind of my come see story. And I use the story to encourage anyone who feels like your mess, your past is so dark compared to where you feel God wants you to be or where you feel you should be, that you feel like the journey is not even worth making. And I just want to encourage you that that could not be further from the truth. I was saying to somebody just a few days ago that God is invested in the journey more than the final outcome. What I mean by that is God takes us on this long journey, these long journeys that oftentimes are so uncomfortable. Like I'm on one right now, my journey as an entrepreneur after being in paid work, salary work for 10 years is so uncomfortable. I'm constantly being broken. I'm constantly being challenged. My faith is being stretched, but I'm developing these new muscles. I have this new level of conviction and discernment that I've never had before. I bounce back so much quicker than I ever have before. And I'm developing, I'm growing. For the first time in so many years in my faith, I am actually growing. I'm so uncomfortable. I've never been so uncomfortable in my life, but I've never been more dependent on God in my life. And actually, God will take us on a journey. God will take us on a journey that's going to transform us. And He's invested in that journey. That journey is unpredictable. It's an adventure. And it's going to be uncomfortable. Don't worry about the end result because God is the one who has established and secured the destination. All He needs is for you to partner with Him and commit to the journey. And in the end, it will bear fruit. I promise you. If you feel God beckoning you, maybe you struggle with an addiction. Maybe you struggle with low self-esteem, poor self-control. Maybe you're struggling to get out of an abusive or ungodly relationship, friendship, whatever it might be. The journey to the other side of that dark place might seem so far, maybe too far, but I promise you that if you can just partner with God, you will get there. I'm still on the journey now, but I definitely do not look like that girl that I once was. I don't look like the girl that was on the train ride that day. Thank God that I do not. And there's a passage of scripture I really wanted to share with us that I'm just going to read. It's taken from Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 10. And this passage of scripture basically talks about our God that knows the end from the beginning. And I'm just going to read it to us and just use it to encourage us in this episode. It says, "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is none other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." And God's purpose for us is always for us to be free. Free from addiction, free from negative cycles, free from generational curses. God's plan for us is always to be whole, always to be healthy. Jesus said, "I did not come for those who are healed, those who are well, but I came from those who need to be healed." When the Pharisees, you know, were asking him why he keeps relating with the social rejects, the dejected members of the society in those days, "Why do you keep relating with sinners?" And he said, "I did not come for the saved. I did not come for the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance." He came for the broken. He came for the dejected. He came for those who are covered in shame. I was so covered in shame. I was so covered in shame. And it has taken years to take off the garment of shame. It has taken, you know, various encounters. And I know that even when I decided that I was going to follow Jesus, the enemy was not having it. He came after me different. And I'll have to share more about that in another episode. But even then, God was with me and he taught my hands to war. The Bible says that he will teach our hands to war. He taught me to war. He taught me to overcome those powers and principalities. Another passage in the Bible says that he made a spectacle out of powers and principalities when he forgave our sins. As many as my sins were, and they were many, Jesus forgave every single one on the cross. And that put the enemy to shame, because every accusation that he made against me that stood before I met Christ was now unfounded, now had no grounds. And God gave me the free gift of salvation. And that's my Come See story. That's the reason why I'm so passionate about other people having the opportunity to hear testimonies so that they too can encounter this Christ, this Messiah, who is not intimidated by your past and your ugly, the ugly side of you, the sins that you've committed, the terrible things you've done, who is so passionately in love with who he designed you to be from the very beginning, so passionately in love with who he has created you to be and the potential that he is embedded in you from the beginning of time, that he's willing to go through the marie clay, the wilderness with you in order to transform you into who he has created you to be. So come see a man who told me everything that I ever did. He is the Messiah. And I think I'm going to leave it there. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Come See podcast. What is your Come See story? Tell me, leave a comment in the, leave a message in the comments. I don't know what I'm saying. Leave a comment. Don't forget to subscribe, like this video so that other people who are struggling in their mess will be able to know that there is a Messiah who can heal them, who can set them free. You will have to do the work, but I promise you, you will not need to look back. Follow us on TikTok, follow us on Instagram. I'm putting in the work, guys. Join me on this journey. And until next time, when hopefully I will be joined by another amazing guest with their Come See story. God bless you. We'll be right back.